Good morning. I'm Steve Athanas. Our reading today is from Matthew 6, 19 to 24, where Jesus is speaking on treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
All right. Welcome back, Harbor. It's good to see everybody this morning. Thank you for being here. I'm sure that most of us remember the financial crisis of 2008. Economists say it was the worst event in 100 years to that point. Banks closed, jobs lost, property values plummeted. American households lost something like $16 trillion as wealth just evaporated. How does wealth evaporate, you might ask? I know how my wealth evaporates, but how does all that wealth nationally and globally evaporate? It still just blows my mind. Maybe the single biggest contributing factor was the risky subprime mortgage loans from certain banks, which eventually caused the housing values to plummet. AIG and Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers were named as contributing factors amongst many others to the collapse. And it was because of what? Greed. I heard that one particular professor at a business school would start off every class in the same way. He said the markets could be understood in two words. And he'd say, students, who's winning today? Is it greed or is it fear? When things are going well, when the line is up and to the right, greed is in the driver's seat and people buy and the market goes up, right? But when it's down and to the right, it's because the potential of less is outweighing the risk of more, and people sell to minimize their losses. Fear is in control instead. That's how this business school prof taught economics. One or the other, greed or fear, is always in the driver's seat. Now, the same two things that drive the markets, that make it bullish or bearish, right, drive us as individuals too. So today I want to share with you the input of the smartest person in the world about money. You know who it is, right? Yes, of course it's Jesus. What kind of pastor and Bible teacher would I be if the answer wasn't Jesus? It's Jesus. That scripture reading from Steve this morning was from the Sermon on the Mount. Those are words that many of us are familiar with. If it's new to you, it's from a famous talk that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks about these two forces that drive our hearts. Jesus starts his financial advice in verse 19 by talking about what happens when we store up treasures on earth. Now, notice he didn't say, don't save for the future. Jesus said, don't store up treasure. And treasure means not what I have, but the value I place on what I have. There's a difference. He's warning us against greed. And we might hear this and think, well, Jesus can't be talking to me. I don't have a lot of treasure. I don't have a lot of stuff. But greed is not wanting to be fabulously wealthy. It's the belief that more is what I need. Someone who has very little can be just as consumed with more as somebody who has a lot. Know anybody like that? It's also interesting why Jesus would start talking about the eyes right in the middle of this section regarding money. But there was actually a close connection between the eye and the heart in Jewish literature, which makes sense because the word for evil here doesn't mean evil like we often think or talk about it either. The word for evil here means envious. Envy is a synonym for greed or for more. Jesus says, if your eyes are always looking for more. Your study Bible probably even has a note that it could mean stingy in the footnote. It means you're consumed with what you want more than what you actually have or need. Jesus warns in verse 24 that no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And so during these tough financial times, whether you're doing okay or whether you're really struggling right now, Jesus' advice to all of us is to watch out for money taking on God-like qualities in our lives. And if we're not on guard, if we don't, we'll end up spending our life pursuing the almighty dollar instead of pursuing him as the almighty God. And that's a problem. And so that's what this series is all about. That's why we called this series The Almighty. We wanted it to have some double meaning there. We might hear that it's not possible to pursue both God and money or serve both God and money, but that doesn't stop us from trying if we're being honest. Now, Jesus' next piece of financial advice, I want to read you the next part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But I want you to listen for one word, because Jesus says this word or a form of it, I think six times. So here we go. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus shifts from warning us about wanting more, which is greed, to talking to us about what? Yeah, that's right, worry. Worry is another word for fear. And you may not consider yourself a big worrier about money, but it's easy to get started worrying when certain things start happening in our world, like a pandemic, and we start running out of hand sanitizer and toilet paper, right? And food. It doesn't take long to start thinking, okay, now I'm worried. But Jesus says that worrying won't do you or me any good. And he also says it's what the pagans do. A pagan is just somebody who lives like there's no God. Jesus' advice to the fearful is that worrying will get you chasing the almighty dollar like it's the almighty God, but it's not. So how do we do this? I love this passage because Jesus tackles some myths about money, where our security comes from in this text. And here's the first one. We'll go through three today. The first myth is this: money can make me happy. Let's look at verse 19 one more time. See where it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Notice the word treasure. Again, keeps coming up. Remember, when Jesus talks about treasure, he doesn't just mean money. It means money and material things that we value, what we count on to make us happy. Now, we probably all say, I know that money can't buy happiness, but I'm sure that we wouldn't mind, you know, experimenting with that a little bit, right? Giving it a try just by having a little bit more. Somebody told me that Jack Benny once said, money can't buy happiness, but it can definitely rent it for a while. I think some of us feel that way. I think deep down, we really do believe that money has some powers to it that other things just don't have. But look at what God says to us. He gives us this warning. He says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's from 1 Timothy. God isn't saying that money is evil or that it can't be used for good. But he knows that when we pursue money, like it can make us happy, we're placing fear or greed or both in the driver's seat, and we're pursuing it like the Almighty when it's not the Almighty God. And when they're in control, we're not going to be happy. In fact, they begin to pierce us with many worries or griefs. And notice how it says that it can get us to wander from God, which is serious stuff. It's a serious warning. So that's the first myth about money, that money can make us happy, and it just can't. Here's the second myth. Myth number two, that money can make me secure. Jesus said the problem with treasures are that not only they cannot make us happy, but they also can't make us any more secure. Moths and rust can destroy material things. And what moths and rust can't destroy, thieves can break in and steal. When I was about 11 or so, I remember our house got broken into in this town that we lived in. We had gone on vacation, I believe, to see my grandparents. It was right before Christmas. And they stole just a few things, but it was everything under the tree. They were real live Grinches, whoever did this. It was brutal on myself, my brother, and my two sisters at the time. Any and all financial wealth is insecure. It can be stolen. And in the last couple of decades, the thieves that break in and steal have names like subprime lending, corporate greed, phishing scams, Ponzi schemes. Did you see that Bernie Madoff just passed away, I think about 10 days ago? Remember him? He defrauded investors of about $65 billion on a Ponzi scheme about 10 years ago. By the way, isn't it ironic and somewhat funny that Bernie Madoff's last name is actually Madoff, as in Bernie Madoff with all my money, Madoff with my financial future, and Madoff with the financial futures of all sorts of people? Jesus said, money or treasure can't make you secure. And instead, he says, store up treasures in heaven and seek first God's kingdom. Because that's the only thing that we can chase after with our lives that can truly make us secure. So that's the second myth, that money can make us secure when it can't. Here's myth number three, the myth of ownership. And of all the money myths, I think this one might be the most difficult to bust. It's the idea that money is ours. So my wife is a nanny, my wife, Julie, and she partners with a few different families and watches their kids throughout the week at different times. And these families bring their kids to our home. And so it's a lot of fun. If you've ever been on a call with me during the day, it could be a little crazy because sometimes kids are running through my office. But again, we have a good time around here. But I had this illustrated to me, not just raising my own kids, but now helping and being around the kids that my wife nannies that are in our home all of the time. I think the two favorite words of a two-year-old, or at least the two that I hear most often, are no and mine. And mine, I would say, is almost, you hear that almost as often as the word no. I'm not kidding. As I was writing down my thoughts this week for what I was even going to teach, I got to this part, this particular sentence, and I literally hear from the other room, mine, mine, mine. A fight broke out and there was crying and it was awful. And I had to run to the other room to figure out what was going on. But I'll tell you one more quick story. I was thinking about that this week. When my kids were little, I would buy my kids candy all the time when they were growing up, because my dad did it for me. And it reminded me of what my dad would do. He would always empty out his wallet, give us a couple bucks, and we could go buy some candy. And of course, we would get their candy and we would go to the park. And I don't really like candy that much, so I wouldn't buy anything for myself. But when we were sitting there at the park, it was not an uncommon thing for me to go grab a Skittle or a little piece of chocolate that they had. And that sweet little kid of mine would go from, like, you know, sweet little kid to Gollum in Lord of the Rings. They would clutch that candy to their chest and they would start saying, "No, it's mine." Like, did they forget that I just bought that for them? And they don't even want to share, apparently. But I think we do the same thing with God oftentimes. So scripture says, this comes from Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it." In Psalm 50, "Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine." And then Haggai chapter 2, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord." God is the only one who can truly say, when it comes to stuff and money, that it's mine. And when all that we have is actually his and not ours, our job is to just manage what belongs to him, not chase after it out of greed or worry because we think it's ours. So that's the last myth, that we somehow own the money and stuff in our lives. We're actually just temporary managers of it. And we're going to talk about that more over the next coming few weeks in this series. Throughout this series, we want to talk about how God wants us to live in relationship to money. So today is kind of the tip of the iceberg. I think there are going to be lots of personal implications when talking about money, for sure, that we don't chase the almighty dollar. But we're also going to talk about the implications for our church, too. We don't like to think of a church as greedy or fearful, but it happens all the time. I see it as a consultant, as somebody who has just grown up in and around the church and working on staff at churches, happens all of the time. Lots of churches find security in the amount of their assets, the size of their property, or the size of even their savings, rather than their dependence on Jesus, and it's not good. Harbor, over the last 5 to 6 months, has done a really good job of scaling back its budgeting, its spending. We've operated in the black, we've increased our savings, and I'm really proud of our elders and our finance team and other leaders who've helped us get there. It's taken a lot of faith to do that, but we're in a much better place. But as we restart our services, as we incur the cost of a lead pastor, and again, as we restart many of our ministries, we're going to have more expenses. And that's also going to take faith in Jesus to get us through this next period as well. We as a church could easily become fearful, not wanting to put ourselves out there again, risking any of our financial stability currently. But that's not what Jesus is calling us to do. Our ministries and our missions partners are essential. And we've got to get used to operating with those costs again. We're going to talk more about how we plan to begin meeting in person in the coming months. We're going to talk more about the additional costs of ministry heading into the summer and the fall over the next couple of weeks. So I think this series is going to be really, really important. I know it can be a little uncomfortable sometimes to talk about money, but I want to invite you back because I do really believe this is going to be pivotal for our church moving forward. And on more of an individual note, as we've already mentioned this morning, finances is often the last area that we seek out help, but it's often what we need most. As we mentioned, Steve, who read our scripture for us this morning, is a financial coach and a teacher here at Harbor with a lot of experience. If you've got a question, or maybe you're looking for some help with your finances, reach out to us. And we can put you in touch with him. It's all confidential, by the way. And so, yeah, we would just encourage you to ask whatever that question is, or maybe request some help. And that simple next step might be the thing that helps free you from the worry that you have currently about your finances. So in uncertain times, how do we seek the Almighty God instead of chasing the almighty dollar? Paul says in Philippians, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul said that, and when he said that, he was in prison. He had nothing, no checkbook, no bank account, no 401k. And was Paul crazy for feeling that way? Or was Paul the sane one? And we're the ones who sometimes are crazy about our treasure. Paul was in touch with a deeper spiritual reality that sometimes eludes you and I. Paul says, "My God will supply some of your needs," right? No, of course not. He actually, what he says is he'll supply all of your needs. And it says needs. And it says needs because what we really need is to be loved and to love the richness that comes not from having, but from being forgiven in Christ Jesus. According to not to what's in our bank account or our savings account or our investments, not what you've got, but the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Again, I'm excited about this series. Hope you are too. Definitely want to invite you back over the next coming weeks because I think this is going to be important. But let's pray to close our time together. Heavenly Father, you give us all that we need, and therefore we can be free from the greed and the worry that often plague us. I pray that we ask God for your forgiveness. Every opportunity that we get, the relationship that we have with money and stuff is not healthy most of the time in our lives. And so we pray that you replace our attachments with money and stuff, and you give us the strength to cling to you instead. We pray it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.